Welcome to season 20 of the Follow My Lead podcast, where each week I bring you stories and best practices of today's leaders to help you on your leadership journey. My name is John Eads. Here we go. Welcome back, season 20, moving right along. I'm so excited you're here. Before this week's featured conversation with my friend Jason Forrest, I wanted to touch on something, a personal journey that I'm on, a commitment that I've made, and I want to challenge you today. I talk so often about the difference between interested and committed to something, and my personal health journey has taken a little bit of a hit because of building a business and everything going on, and I've made a commitment in the last couple weeks on my own personal health. And that includes diet and exercise. I'm doing something called the keto diet, which is not going to bore you with the details. It's high in fat, high in protein, low in carbohydrates and sugar. And it's going well. I'm sticking with it. I'm feeling great. I'm also committing to more exercise. So every single day I'm trying to do something active. I'm not running marathons. I'm not running half marathons, but I'm doing something active, more steps, a 2 mile, a 3 mile run outside. And since it's somewhat new, I've worked out my whole life, but the commitment comes in is that I'm not missing more than one day in a row. So if I miss one day because of travel or speaking or training somewhere or working with some company and I can't work out or I can't run or whatever, that's fine. But I've got to make a commitment to myself to make sure I do it the next day. Because the minute you let yourself down is the minute it all starts to crumble. So instead of you making a commitment to me or to a friend or to your spouse or to whomever about whatever you want to in life, I want you to make a commitment to yourself. And what I'm asking you to do today is to think about something that you want to do, you want to achieve, something that's going on in your life, and make a commitment to yourself about how often you're going to do it. And don't let yourself break it. And now that I'm telling you, I'm going to be even more motivated to not break that commitment. So think long and hard today about what you want to do. Where do you want to get better? What's holding you back? Make a commitment today with me. Doesn't have to be keto. Doesn't have to be losing weight. Whatever it is for you. Maybe it's reading. Maybe it's reading a book every other day or reading at all every day. Maybe it's turning off something or spending more time with your spouse. Whatever it may be. Make a commitment with me today for the next 28 days. That's all I'm asking. 1 month. Do it for me. Let's do it together. I want you to tell me what you're committing to. Email me, jeads@learnloft.com. Send me a message on LinkedIn, John Eads. I know you know I'm there. Let me know what you're committing to because I want to go on a journey with other people too. Okay? Mine's health and weight loss. What is yours? Now, my team would have actually crushed me for this. The Ultimate Leadership Academy is closing this Friday, the 26th. If you have not joined, don't forget to go to learnloft.com or learnloft.com/Ultimate Leadership Academy to sign up for the Ultimate Leadership Academy. It's our special virtual program. It's $99 a month. It is can't beat it. Best content, incredible assessment, one-on-one coaching, group coaching. If you want to be a better leader, it's the best and most effective way that I know how to tell you. So I hope you'll join me at learnloft.com. Now, on to this week's featured conversation with my friend Jason Forrest. Jason Forrest is the CEO of the FPG Group. He is a sales expert through and through. He's from Dallas, Texas. He cares very deeply about his own company being a best place to work, as well as helping other organizations drive the results in their salespeople. And whether you're a salesperson or not, whether you have a title of sales, we've not covered selling on this podcast. So I was so excited that Jason agreed to come on the show and share some just incredible insight about why everybody has to be concerned about selling. So without further ado, here is my interesting conversation with my friend, Mr. Jason Forrest. Well, Jason, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
You've had an interesting journey, and obviously you're the main your main focus for people that don't know who Jason Forrest is, you're probably best known for the sales performance world and helping advance that profession forward. Where did your passion for selling and helping other people become better salespeople come from?
So my father is actually going to turn 80 here in a few days, actually this Thursday, the 18th, and he owns the oldest jewelry store in North Dallas. And so since I was a kid, all I've really known is sales. My father, just his whole life's been in sales. And since I was a kid, you know, every conversation is always positive around salespeople. I remember going through many recessions with my family and, you know, he would always say things like, you know, as long as you're a top salesperson, you're always recession proof. You know, my mom is a speech teacher. So she's taught in the speaking world for almost 50 years now. And so grew up in this kind of persuasive speaking debate type world. And then third, my Sunday school teacher growing up was Zig Ziglar. So that was kind of a cool trifecta. So, I mean, it's really all I've ever known was high performance and debate and speaking and selling and just all of the positive benefits from it. And, you know, one of the things I talk about is that there's nothing more American than being a salesperson because America is all about this mentality of eat what you kill. It's all about capitalism. It's all about if I can provide value for you and I can show you the value that I can bring, then I want to get paid for it. But every day I wake up and I literally work for free. I mean, that's the best salespeople out there. They're straight commission, right? So I work for free. At the end of the day, I hope to provide enough value that I can get paid for the value that I bring to society, which is extremely American. It's extremely capitalist. And so that's how I was raised.
And then you got into it, you know, when you, in a formal way, you've been in business 10 years with FBG and you've been helping other people have that same kind of success that you learned from people like Zig Ziglar, which I think is fantastic. Today, I think this world of selling has changed so much. Not everybody has the title of salesperson, but I believe everybody is somewhat responsible for selling. I mean, in order to grow, in order to provide more opportunity, you know, I don't think you need the title for salesperson. And not everybody listening to the show has a title of sales or account manager or anything else. Why does everybody need to be more concerned about being a better salesperson?
Well, I believe there are two problems in business. There are sales problems and there's all the other problems. I mean, if you really think about it, you know, I mean, FPG is a best place to work company. So I'm a huge believer in culture. I have an MBA in marketing. I'm a huge believer in marketing. I'm a huge believer in customer experience. I'm a huge believer in service. I'm a huge believer in all these things, innovation, all those great things. But those are really not really problems. The real problem is a sales problem because you can't, until you have revenue coming in the door, you can't even attack those other smaller problems that we all try to focus on. And so, I mean, sales needs to be an issue for, I mean, a top of mind thing for everyone. So for example, in our company, every employee of ours gets a referral bonus if they refer a person to FBG to help them become a better sales organization. So, you know, why not, right? So we want everyone, all 26 of our employees to be in sales, even though technically we only have two full-time salespeople, plus obviously myself, you know, does a lot of selling as well. So I think everyone needs to be sales-minded. I mean, if you think about in every single conversation you're having with someone, you're obviously selling them something. Because selling our philosophy of selling, so we have a warrior selling philosophy, and then we've got 15 beliefs that reinforce our philosophy. Our warrior selling philosophy is all human beings move away from pain and towards life improvement. And a sales warrior is on a mission to liberate them from any indecision. Hmm. So from any indecision, right? So meaning that we think it's actually very noble. We think it's a very, because we also believe that the number one crippling disease of the human race is ambiguity. So people spend a lot of time trying to figure out what are they going to do? What are they going to buy? What are they going to eat for dinner? And so if a sales warrior can get in there very quickly and liberate them from that ambiguity, that indecision, and free them up to start enjoying their life as fast as possible and get away from that problem, that pain, that's a pretty noble profession. I mean, that's a pretty cool thing a person's doing.
What if someone doesn't know they're in pain, right? I mean, I love the old analogy that if you were trying to sell a gun to think Game of Thrones with just a sword, right? They're not going to know the value of that gun because they've never had one before. How do you think about that today? I mean, because the vast majority of people that don't carry a number, don't carry a bag, they're not often thinking about how this person might be in some kind of pain or struggle, and I got to find some way to help them. So if you have something, or anybody, you work at Wells Fargo or Bank of America or you name it, how can they start to get into that sales mindset? Because, you know, that word pain obviously is very much a training term. So what is something to just to get them in that sales mindset, even though they don't carry a number?
Yeah. So, I mean, I would say step one, this is an old Ziegler thing, and that's, you must sell yourself first before you can sell anyone else. And so I would say step one, every person needs to, and again, I don't care if you're the CEO or you're a frontline salesperson or anyone in between. If you are talking to a customer, you are in some sort of sales capacity. I mean, that's just it, right? So I think they need to, step one, figure out what does your product or service, how does it solve a pain? So what could be the potential pains that obviously our customers have? And then obviously, how does your product or service improve their life? So I think that's an important thing. And I think it's make a list of all of those what ifs, those ideas. Mm-hmm. And a great place to start too is if you get stuck, just ask your customer. I mean, so for example, my two sales reps, sales professionals, sales pros, sales warriors, Andy and Rachel. I mean, one of the things I ask them is every time you close someone, every time you get a customer to say yes to us, ask them, hey, I just want to clarify. I know the main reason you said you were going forward with us because of blank. Was there anything else? Is there anything else that said you really need to go with us because of blank, blank, blank? Or what was the reason why you chose us over anyone else? You know, why are you even more excited about this than what you've done in the past? Now, of course, I teach them, just like I teach all my clients, to find that stuff out along the way in the sales process, mm-hmm. by asking great questions. But sometimes, you know, it's just to clarify, it's great once the customer says yes, just to kind of do a little post-op and figure out what really happened, what's really, because a lot of that, they'll tell you more in that case. Sometimes they're going to hold things kind of close to the vest, you know? And so then you're building this whole kind of like archive of all of these reasons that customers have pain and all these reasons that, you know, they're moving towards life improvement, and what does that really look like? And then how your product and service can fulfill that. And I think that's important, right?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things I really wanted to dig in with you specifically on is this idea of mindset. So most people that teach salespeople, they're focused on solely the skills, which I think are obviously very important to be successful. But you really dig into the mindset. And as a former athlete, as someone that watches great athletes, that watches great salespeople, that watches any high performer, there is a mindset to them that helps fuel their performance. Why are you so concerned with mindset, and how can any one of our listeners improve their mindset to hopefully improve their performance?
And I love the fact that you mentioned the whole sports thing. I grew up in the sports world as well, playing, you know, football in Texas, big deal. But the you know, if you think about it, that in any other profession, you know, especially sports and gambling or anything that people really look at, everyone knows it's majority mindset. I mean, they know that, you know, it's, I mean, Tiger Woods obviously just won his Masters after, you know, 11 years and 14 years from winning the previous Masters. I mean, I wrote a whole article about that that's been shared all over Entrepreneur as of yesterday. And I talked about Tiger's mindset and how he got himself back with self-talk and different things, and how he had to block out the noise from, you know, the critics that were out there. And he had to do a lot of kind of work on that, you know. But a salesperson is an athlete, and they should be coached like an athlete, not managed like an employee. That's a very important thing to think about. And if you study two great coaches that are out there, you've got Nick Saban and Pete Carroll. Okay. So both of them are huge mindset junkies, and they spend a ton of time on that. Pete Carroll makes each of his players write a 25-word personal philosophy on who they are as a football player and their character they're going to bring. And then all the starters have to share those with each other so they know who they're playing up next to. And so they spend a lot of time on that. So the simplest way to get mindset is this. And that is, we've all been to classes before, whatever it's been, some skill training, where we learn something. We learn a knowledge, okay? But we leave the class, and why don't we just immediately execute that knowledge 100% of the time? Well, there's some kind of resistance. And so we developed a trademark formula that's real simple. It took me 10 years to create this simple formula. That is performance equals knowledge minus leashes. Okay, so performance is what we see a person do, the visible behavior. The knowledge is what we told them to do or what they've learned to do. Leashes is any resistance that keeps them from executing that knowledge when they need to, right, or 100% of the time. So let's take a simple concept on knowledge, which is they go to a class and they're taught, hey, ask every customer, I'm curious, what's stopping you or what's holding you back or what's preventing you from feeling confident and certain that we're the right provider for you? It's a very simple question. It's very easy to ask, you know, what's preventing you? What's keeping you from saying that we're the right choice for you, giving the certainty you need to move forward, right? Okay. Well, why would a customer not ask, why would a salesperson not ask 100% of the time? Well, they've got leashes. And they've got, for example, stories they tell themselves where, oh, the customer is not going to like that question. They're going to think it's too much. I'm afraid of the answer they're going to give me. Maybe that I can't answer it correctly. The timing's wrong. You know what? I really want to wait until the third visit to make it happen. I mean, Andy told me, and you know, we go over all his leashes all the time too, because it's so funny. He's after many years of selling. He said he was taught from a previous sales trainer that don't ever pitch a proposal until you know three people in three different levels. Well, that's crazy. So my immediate question to Andy was, I said, well, have you ever got a sale without knowing three people in three different levels? Well, yeah. Okay, well, that's a leash. That's a rule that you've created from some person that's told you to create, you know, that's told you to have that, right? Another leash is, well, if they're smiling, they're buying. Well, that's not true, because I actually know people at the highest possible level of the food chain on the C-suite, the higher they go up on the food chain, the more they've got a disease called resting bitch face that causes them to frown a lot, right? So I know that's not true because I know myself. I've got more stress and pressure, more employees. I don't smile as much as I used to, you know? So anyway, these are all these kind of dumb rules or leashes that people have created. And so what we do is at FPG, we focus on creating leash-free sales training, leash-free knowledge. Okay, so I don't want to create leashes in people. A lot of trainers do that. So leash-free training. And number two is that we show them the ways to remove the leashes they've either learned in the past or they're creating along the way from experiences. We learn these leashes from experiences, mm-hmm. Right?
It's really, it's fascinating stuff. And I think any of our listener, whether you're a salesperson or not, can think about the leashes that are holding them back in their life. I mean, whether that just be in their career, whether it be in their personal life, whether it be in their marriage. I mean, we all kind of have these leashes that we hold on to. And it's interesting to think that we're holding ourselves back because of them, whether it's selling or not. It's a really interesting analogy and image for all of us to put ourselves in. I want to transition to your evolution as a professional. You personally, I mean, I think everybody believes leadership is a journey and not a destination. Looking back at, you know, your videos from 10 years ago to where you are today, what's your journey like today? And where's the biggest area that you've grown that's helped you the most in your career?
I mean, one, if you look at my videos from 10 years ago, I'm a lot better now than I was 10 years ago.
That's my point. Yeah. I mean, I think anybody that could go to their very first blog, first book, first, you name it, it was not where they wanted to be and where they are today, but you've made a big leap. You know, you've made a big leap. And one, what do you attribute that to? And two, what's the biggest area that, you know, where you've grown the most?
So I'm a huge fan of the Carol Dweck's work on mindset and growth mindset. I'm a huge fan of the Talent Code, Daniel Coyle's work on Myelin Connections, and Malcolm Gladwell's 10,000 hour rule to create master. I mean, so you kind of take all those things, and I actually am 100% evidence of that. So, you know, I had people 10 years ago that, or let's say more than that, let's say when I was actually in the corporate training world 15 years ago, that, I mean, I had people that would say, you're never going to be able to do this. Like, this is, and again, a lot of it was because I was trained by my mom. My mom's a public speaking teacher. And so she taught me this very formal way of speaking. And it was more of a Toastmasters kind of formal way of speaking, which was effective, but it wasn't effective as a trainer or an entertainer or a keynoter. You know, you couldn't do those things. It just doesn't work, right? And so I had a lot of criticism out there, but I love that quote from Steve Jobs that he says, don't let the noise of others' opinions drown out your inner voice. And so I always knew what I wanted to be. I just didn't know necessarily how to get there. I had a lot of psychological leashes I had to get over in my past. But I also believe that talent is nothing more than effort in disguise. So it's not that some person hasn't, some person doesn't. It's just, are you going to flat out work harder than anyone else to make it happen? And so, I mean, I film 32 videos a month, 32 videos a month. I mean, we're constantly reinventing, constantly creating new material. And so, you know, you look at the 10,000 hour rule and all these things. I mean, that's just the reason why I'm better, is because that constant frustration, failing and fixing and figuring it out and, you know, learning. And, you know, yesterday we had a big conversation with the team, with a client that said, you know, the biggest lessons are from the losses, which is true. You know, it's, you don't learn a lot from the wins, in my opinion, because a lot of times you, when you win something, you give credit to the wrong things, you know? And so you don't really know like why you truly won. It might be because of the economy or the timing or the product, or you don't really know. You can have delusional thinking on it, but if you can really have objective reality when you lose, then you can really figure that out. And so, I mean, I would say that's probably my biggest thing, is just, you know, just saying, okay, I want to be better than I was yesterday. And how can I be better than I was yesterday? Like, that's the ultimate goal. Like, choose excellence over perfectionism and just kind of make that slow kind of progress.
What are the things that you do outside of the repetition, the reps of, you know, your daily work life? What are the things that you do to make that become a reality? Are you a reader? Are you a listener? You know, what are you doing? Because I feel like so many, I mean, obviously our audience is listening to a podcast every single week, which almost fills up my heart, because I know they have a growth mindset like Carol Dweck talks about, or I use the analogy of as a golfer, there's Bermuda grass in the winter, it dies, it's dormant. In the summer, it's green, right? So you're either growing or you're dying. And I feel like most of our listeners have that. The challenge, I believe, and many of our listeners would say, is how do you take that to execution, to reality, to having that growth mindset and all this content that we're putting in, because we believe we can grow. But then we got to go perform at the same time. And you've talked about this equation already, but what are some of the things that you do to help you go perform?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm a master practitioner in NLP, so neuro-linguistic programming. So I follow a lot of those kind of best practices. But, you know, I think one of the reasons why people don't execute is because their chunk size is too big. They kind of, you know, bite off more than they can chew, so to speak. I mean, the reason why people feel like have anxiety is because they see things bigger than they are. You know, they don't kind of see things for what they are, right? And so, so for example, one of the things I developed, it's called the Four Questions That Change Your Life. And I teach it, and we run our entire company on it from an annual basis, a quarterly, a monthly, and a weekly, and a daily. Four simple questions. You want to know what they are?
Of course I do.
Okay, here we go. Four simple questions. Number one is, what do I want to accomplish by when? So that's number one. So obviously on a daily basis, it's, what am I going to accomplish by the end of the day? Just one thing. What's your one thing you're going to accomplish by the end of the day? So what am I going to accomplish by when? Number two is, why? Why is that the most important thing? Not urgent thing, important thing, right? Why is that the most important thing? Not a have to, a want to. How will it fulfill your six human needs? How will it give you more certainty, more variety, more fun, more significance, make you feel awesome? How will it help you feel more connected to yourself and others and the company's mission strategy? How will it allow you to grow more and to contribute and give back to more? So that's the why. Number three is, how are you going to get there? So what is your steps? What is your next step? What is your first step? What is your last step? So how are you going to get there, right? And then the fourth question is, whose coaching do you need? We all need coaching in life. The question is, who do you need? So do you need coaching from a peer? Maybe there's a peer that's, you know, that's, we've got some, a different department we're stuck in. Maybe it's your own boss. Maybe it's a podcast. Maybe it's like this podcast we're talking about right now. So what's a resource that I can find, a book? I mean, I listen to Audible books every day and I listen to podcasts every day. So, you know, a lot of my coaching comes from that, but I'm also part of mastermind groups and different hero clubs, different things like that, that, you know, I can get coaching, you know, from as well. So those four questions: what do you accomplish by when? Why is that the most important thing to focus on? Number three is, how am I going to get there? And number four is, whose coaching do I need? So we use that on a chunked big level. So annual, quarterly, again, monthly, weekly, and daily.
It's just excellent advice. And I think we all can put those four questions into place each. I love it on the daily basis. I mean, that goes to a level that most people aren't willing to go to. And when you start talking about executing every day at the highest level, asking yourself those kinds of questions daily, it's what most people won't do, and which is why you probably should do it. It's just, it's really, really great advice. So I appreciate you sharing that. Let's end on some fun stuff. What's harder, leading at home or leading at work? I know you have two kids. What's harder, growing this business or leading those two kids?
I mean, I'd definitely say probably the kids. So the again, it's funny because, you know, even though I get paid thousands of dollars to get people to be unstuck and unleashed and CEOs and all kinds of different people to work with, your kids don't really listen to you very well. So I've had a hard time, you know, and it's funny too, because they'll come to me all the time and ask me, you know, different questions. And I'm like, you do know that people pay me a lot of freaking money to like teach this stuff. No, Dad, I'm going to deal with a different way, you know? Like,
Yeah, that's funny.
My son's trying to create some YouTube business right now, and he thinks I'm like a buffoon and have no
idea how to shoot a video.
Helpful idea to help him, you know?
Yeah. Well, there's only one way to learn, right? At least he's courageous. I'll give him that.
That's correct.
Who's one person in your journey that you don't typically give enough credit to?
Probably Mary Marshall. So she's my fiance. She's actually the president of FPG as well. That's kind of cool. So she's pretty awesome. I'm very fortunate to have a partner in home and at life. You know, that's kind of a rare thing. Normally you have to kind of choose one or the other. So we really are a 24/7 partnership, which is pretty awesome.
But now we know you had to say that. That wasn't a fair answer. No, I'm kidding. And if you're, let's end on this. If your team had to define you in one word, how would they define you?
Intense.
Intense.
Yeah. Yes, that would probably be it.
And if you've grown at all from a leadership perspective, you now lead an organization much bigger than it's ever been, doing bigger work than you've ever done. If you think of your growth from a leadership perspective, what's been the biggest area that you wish you would have improved earlier?
I mean, the biggest game changer for me lately is the whole idea of allowing me focusing on the visionary side of it and having Mary, the president, focus on the integration side of it. So she really runs the internal company, where I focus on new content, external relationships, big deals, future, that kind of thing. So we're, you know, she's the certainty and the connection, and I'm the, you know, the future and the growth, right? And so I would say it took me a long time to not do it all, and to really kind of let go of the control of running the day to day and heading to, you know, handing over the reins to an executor. But I really believe, and there's a lot of books on this now, the whole Rocket Fuel is a book that was written by the guys that wrote Traction. And, you know, they talk about how the majority of, well, all businesses basically are started because of a visionary. But the reason why they don't scale is because they don't hand off the reins or have the right integrator to help them go from kind of that good to great. You know, they just don't ever go. They can't scale without it. And so that's probably the number one thing that I wish I would have done sooner is put that integrator into place and you know,
help you scale.
Yeah.
Where can people find out more about your work? I know the book Mindset of a Sales Warrior is coming out in September, but where can people find out more about your work right now? Where's the best place to send people?
I mean, definitely our social media, fpg.com, stands for Forest Performance Group. So fpg.com. Also, again, we have a really cool thing that we do on a monthly basis called the Mindset of a Sales Warrior Masterclass. And so they can just go to fpgmasterclass.com. And it's never been done before. So I basically talk through and I teach these different mental toughness strategies as it relates to selling. But what's really cool about it is I actually coach one person on the phone every month. So one person on the phone I coach. So you'll actually get to see me unleash one human being over the phone and learn from it from a case study perspective. So it's pretty cool to watch.
That sounds exciting.
Yeah.
Well, we appreciate you one, coming on the show, two, sharing such great insight. Your work matters. And so continued success. And thanks for being here.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for joining us for another week of the show. If you enjoyed this, please do me a favor and write a recommendation or review wherever you listen to iTunes. It helps us get exposure for the show. And as always, be a good leader at work and at home.